Okay, we're going to take up once again the study of faith, but this time from an opposite angle. We're going to try and figure out what can happen to our faith and how it can swing the other way around. That's something that we need to take note of if we're not careful. It can really, really affect us and affect us badly. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray that you will give to us much grace, much wisdom to understand how we can appreciate this faith that we have. We pray that you would help us to see how we can be enriched. Help us to keep pursuing this faith and also to note the things that can harm it. We pray for your grace to be given to us this morning as we read your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In a series of studies we had, we looked at this whole issue of how the Lord Jesus Christ looks for faith. And he commended the people who had faith. Those who didn't, they were rebuked for their lack of faith. I think that is the obvious situation. Now we ask ourselves, how do we apply this idea of faith and as we understand it? And if we can apply it, our faith will be so much more enriched. You know, last Sunday we talked about how the Lord said to the people, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And sometimes we take that for granted a lot. On Friday last week, I had a little bit of a scare again. I was just feeling tired a little bit. I was doing some work. It gets very dusty over here, and so I can't stay here for very long. So I went back, and then I just felt really, really unwell. So I went to lie down for a while. At the moment I closed my eyes, and at the moment I opened my eyes, the whole room was spinning. Now I knew I've been there before, so I knew what that was. So I tried to, you know, maybe I'll just lie down for a little while and then just try and read. And I couldn't manage it. I couldn't even read. The moment I opened my eyes, the whole room spun. And that went on for an hour, 2 hours. I opened my eyes again, just couldn't get them open. You know, sometimes an experience like this, I've had that before when I was in Myanmar. I was expecting that I would probably start throwing up the next moment. And that would be horrible. I didn't. But still, the whole experience of it all just brought back memories. What's your thought then? You know, Isaiah 12 came to mind. The Lord being salvation, the Lord being strength, the Lord being a song, the Lord being joy. It was all the thought there was, Emmanuel. And so I forced myself to lie down for the next few hours. And then it sort of disappeared, but that left me very tired. You know, if you look at this, you see, faith is something that is going to be tested again and again when you least expect it. It could be a physical challenge, it could be a hurdle, it could be problems in life, in ministry, you name it. You don't know what it is. It's going to come. The question is, how do you make use of that situation? And I think this is something that we all must always be reminded of. Can we do something about it? Can we handle it? You see, all these things were meant to enrich us if we were to understand it. The history of Israel was both good and not so good experiences. Good were the ones where God showed his presence, was with the people, blessed the people, protected the people, provided for the people. These were the good and positive things. Their faith should have been enriched. Yet, it didn't get enriched. Now, on the other hand, all the tough experiences, the rebellion, the idolatry, the going away, and then the return, that should have enriched them too. But it didn't. The question is, what happened? And this is what we're going to study this morning. That it is a problem of traditionalism. The problem of legalism. Well, let's take a look at this in chapter 12. Okay, now look at chapter 12 and you'll see this very clearly. At that time, Jesus went to the grain fields on the Sabbath. And his disciples were hungry and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when a Pharisee saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." Now, they must have been observing Jesus quite a bit. And it's a terrible thing when everywhere you go, people are noticing, observing, taking notes of all the things you do. To me, that's a terrible experience. And here, there are only a couple of ways of doing. You can become intimidated, or you can just simply refuse to dwell on it. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knew that this was going on. But, you know, he was just waiting for this to happen, and this happened. Well, he knew he had an answer to all these problems. But the question is, how did they end up with this problem, of focusing on the Sabbath so much? You see, the issue of the Sabbath was something that God gave. Certainly, there's no question about it. Okay, in Exodus 20, it was one of the commandments. It's the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath. It was repeated again in the book of the prophets, in Isaiah, in Jeremiah, and elsewhere. The issue was the focus of the Sabbath. And what emerged was this idea of you got to keep the Sabbath no matter what happens. And you know what? They missed the points of the scriptures totally. And that's what could happen to any one of us. Okay, anything that we do not fully comprehend, that we do not fully understand, that we don't seem to get a hang of it, becomes a death trap. And this is something that we need to know. You see, the Sabbath law was a good law legally. It was a good thing historically. It was a good thing naturally. It was a good thing. When does it stop being good? When you're cocooned in it. When you are stuck in it. And that becomes a problem. We call this a Sabbatarian issue. In the Presbyterian tradition, this is a very, very strict problem. It's a real problem amongst some old Presbyterians. You know, and it's in lots of rural America, Midwest America, it's the same. Sunday morning worship. The whole day do nothing. Evening go worship. That's it. That's Sabbath. And if you're used to that kind of lifestyle, it's okay. But if you're not, you're going to find it very hard to keep up with this thing here. And if you do anything any other way, you're sunk. And there was a missionary boy, the son of a missionary. He was playing with his paper aeroplane. And a father told him, you know, you cannot play the aeroplane on the Sabbath. And he told the father, actually, it's not. This is a missionary plane bringing relief goods. We can get out of all these things and we have lots of twists and turns and we miss the point sometimes. And it can become a death trap. See, I'm more concerned not so much as to the legalism part of it. I'm more concerned about the fact that there are things that can really harm our souls. There are things that can harm the development of our faith. And once they start harming us in that way, your faith has been damaged. Your soul has been damaged, has been hurt, and you don't even know it. And it can come in any form. You take, for example, let's say you feel guilty you've not read the Bible. And then so you quickly, dutifully turn to the Bible, read a few minutes. And your conscience feels, it's okay now. You know, you harmed your soul too. You don't realize it. But it is something that you do almost automatically. So a lot of people will feel better if they come to church to worship. They feel better if they have read something or attempted to memorize something. And then they go their own way. And they are still the same old, unchanged person that they are. So it's not just traditionalism. It's not just legalism. It could be anything. It could be everything. The history of our church is a very short one, but it is something that we have to be very careful about. We can be ensconced, we can be trapped in our thinking, and we haven't gone beyond that level. The danger is there. And yet the danger is not in the history. The danger is not in a tradition. The danger is not in the experience. What do you make out of it? And if you don't make out of it well, it could be something that's going to hurt you very, very, very badly. When you become fault-finding, when you try to pick on people, when you keep on looking at things and looking at loopholes, criticizing, condemning, all the time, finding things to criticize, you are trapped and your soul has been far more hurt than you realize. And your faith could well be dead. Can it happen? Yes. Can it happen in Bethany? Yes. Can it happen to you? Yes. The question is what to do with it? How to get out of it? How to make sure that our faith is constantly strong, it is vibrant, and it is alive. Unfortunately, very often, for many people, you know, that faith that they have in the Lord is only academic, it's only theoretical, it's only in the mind, it's only in the concept, it's only in the idea of it all. It's not real. It's not alive. That's the difference between the Lord Jesus Christ and everybody else. That is something that we need to address. You see, a lot of people sometimes look at Christmas and they find fault with it. And they come up with, oh, this is commercializing, this is that, and then they say, I refuse to do it. As if they are any spiritually better. As if they are any spiritually richer for not doing it. They're not. In fact, they have become even more spiritually caustic and dead as a result of rejecting something. So what's the answer? The answer is, okay, I reject tradition. This is how some churches go. Traditions are supposedly bad. No, that's not what Jesus is saying. The problem is not that in any way. So don't misread this particular text. Jesus is not against the idea of keeping the Sabbath. It's not the idea of doing away with the sabbatical law. It's the way in which he helped the people to understand this. To take a look at the Pharisees again as we understand them. When the Pharisees began, and we read this, the Pharisees began as a group of people who felt that they must keep the laws of God properly. Good start. They must be separate from the world. Another good start. And so they began to keep the laws of God in the way they felt the laws of God should be kept. Good start. The problem is that it's only the start. What happened subsequently? They began to find fault with those who don't think their way. They began to find fault with people who don't keep the things that they do. So what began right ended up wrong. That's what it is. That's how easily it begins. That's how easily it can carry on. And that is where the danger. After a while, the Pharisees became a group of people. They all thought the same way, developed the same way, grew the same way, behaved the same way, and it became a distinct group of people. And that's what happened. And so they began to keep the laws in a certain way. In order to keep the laws, they made laws to keep the laws. And there were more laws about keeping the law than there were the laws of God. In fact, there were hundreds of laws more than the actual laws of God. And you ask yourself, did God mean it that way? Frankly, no. What happened? The soul went dead. What happened? The faith that they had went flat. This was the problem. And it was not a problem of the law in any way. And so they began to build laws. You know, it is not lawful to do this, that, or the other. And then Jesus asked them, have you not read what David did? Now, that's the problem. Okay, we take a look at this verse very, very carefully. Did you not read what David did? What does it mean? You see, the Word of God is so rich in every sense of the word. The Word of God has its own special life, as it were. It's a question of how you read it. It's a question of whether you come alive when you read the Scriptures. And if you don't come alive as you read the Scriptures, the reading of the Scriptures will do nothing at all for you. In fact, the reading of God's Word can make you even more dead. Does it mean that you don't read the Scriptures? No. It's how you read the Scriptures. And this was the real challenge to the people. And so this is something he said to them in a hearing of all the disciples. Have you not read what David did? Now, if they were to go strictly by the Word of God, strictly, David would have been punished for daring to eat the bread that was given to him, that was preserved only for the priests. And yet that priest gave it to David and his men. So if they were reading the Scriptures correctly, then the priest would have been wrong, David would have been wrong, everybody would have been wrong, and they would have been penalized and punished by the Lord. But nothing happened. So when we read the Scriptures, how do we read the Scriptures? Again, he cited another example. Have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath, and yet they are blameless? We tell people on the Sunday, on the Sabbath day, this is a day of rest. On the Sabbath day is the day the priests work the hardest. How's that? But of course, you see, it's a question of how you read the Scriptures. And if we don't understand the Scriptures, we don't understand God. And we don't understand God, we don't understand soul, we don't understand faith, we don't understand the spiritual life. And a lot of people read the Scriptures, they scrutinize things, they pick up words here and there in order to find fault. That very spirit of finding fault will tell you this is nothing but deadness in the life of that person. And that's how it works. Unfortunately, you know, sometimes I once spoke to a doctor who retired. And I asked the person, I said, how come you retired? He says, I retired the day when my patients quarrel with me as to how to treat them. This is the day and age where whatever you do, they can have legal means to sue you. It's a really unfortunate day, that age. It's a day, in the days when we went to school, our teachers could do no wrong. If they were to punish us and to to stand in the waste paper basket, we stood down there accepting the punishment. You try that today. That teacher would most likely be disciplined, if not sacked. We took our punishment because we accepted that we were naughty, the teachers were right. Today is the other way around. We are right, the teachers are always wrong. There's no two ways about it. Things have changed. And things are changed not because the things have changed, but because we read things wrongly. And so the Pharisees began right, and they turned out wrong. What happened? The same way when we read the scriptures. What is happening to your life, to your faith, to your soul when you read the scriptures? Do you come alive to God when you read the scriptures? Does your faith become stronger? Does your soul become more alive and alert to God? If not, you are reading the scriptures wrongly, whether it is traditionalism, whether it is legalism, whether you read it academically, you are still reading it wrongly. And this is an important thing for us to consider, young people, when you read the scriptures, what are you looking for? One word, the Lord Jesus said here, you know, if you had known what this means, I desire mercy. What did the Lord say in the Beatitudes? Blessed are the merciful. It's the essence of it all. What is God looking for? And when people look for the wrong things, you know what? They find it. That's a sad reality. If you are looking for the wrong things, you will find them. What should we be looking for? I like what the Lord Jesus Christ said. You will find rest for your soul. You will find faith. You will find life eternal. You will find, in Isaiah's language, salvation. You will find strength. You will find a song. You will find joy. These are the things we should look for. And if we don't look for them, we won't find them. And this is what we must understand, that for the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath. Did they learn this lesson? Did they learn? Let's read further in verse 9. Now when he had departed from there in the grain fields, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man who had a withered hand, and they asked him, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Did they learn? Not at all. You'd imagine that after they have been publicly rebuked, they would have learned something. They would have been humbled. Nope, they were not. Humility is a hard lesson to learn. And, you know, sometimes when we are rebuked, we get angrier. We don't have the right response. We are angrier. Why did you rebuke me? Because all these traditional ideas, all the heartfelt ideas were proven to be wrong, and nobody likes to be told that they're wrong. And so they retain what they believe in. So when he went to the synagogue, okay, we can't answer you on that one about David. We don't have the answers. That's what it is. Okay? Now, neither do we have the answer about this issue of mercy and not sacrifice. Instead of finding answers, they look for another way of trying to find fault with the Lord Jesus Christ. And they did it. Okay, well, let's think about this one. This man with it. What is that they can accuse him of? You see, in the laws, the Sabbath law, you shall not work. Okay? You shall not labor. Now, if a person is sick, like this man was, and he had a withered arm, well, you can heal the person on Monday, every day of the week, except the Sabbath. So they were watching, would Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Because healing equals work. And so if they can find fault with Jesus, they would have made their day. Unfortunately, you see the deadness of the soul over here? You see the lack of faith, lack of soul life, lack of understanding, lack of mercy, lack of knowledge of God. So of all wants and purposes, they were good people. But they were not. Well, let's take a look further. And so he said to them, What man is there among you who has one sheep and he falls into the pit on the Sabbath? Will he not take it out? Let's apply the scriptures to a daily life situation. What would happen then? Would the person really just leave the sheep there to die? They would not. They would rescue the sheep. Well, how would you explain it? They will find a loophole somewhere to justify that particular action. But this man is not related to them. Is not dear enough to be concerned about. And so this man was at fault. And then he went on further. How much more value than a man than a sheep? And then he concludes, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. The first time Jesus didn't answer any question. He just raised questions to their questions. This time he gave a definite answer to their question. And his answer was, it is good. It is perfectly all right. It is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Then he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. It was restored as the other one. Now twice they were defeated. And twice they were publicly embarrassed. Twice they were forced into a corner. Did they learn from it? Did they benefit from it? And that's how you know whether the person is dead in the soul or not. When lesson after lesson after lesson falls on deaf ears, the heart remains hardened, the spirit becomes obdurate, and it refuses to learn. That's how you know that soul is dead. That's how you know that faith is not alive. It's not real. Can it happen to us? Yes. We don't have to be among the Pharisees to have this problem. It is a problem that we need to address. But this was a problem that was not addressed. What did they do after that? Verse 16, we read. And the Pharisees went out and plotted against him. Did they learn? Nope. They learned that they cannot defeat Jesus in such arguments. They learn how they cannot embarrass themselves further publicly. What would they do then? Counsel. Let us gather together. Let's plot. Let's see how we can destroy him. And that is a clear evidence of how spiritually dead they had become. How their faith was no longer there at all. And how their history, their traditionalism, their legalism with a fine political mindset, it was doing nothing at all for the people in any way. What do we look for when we read the scriptures seriously? What do you look for? I think this is important for us to understand what it really, really means. And I want to share this with you, what we should look for as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, in verse 8, okay, and we read about how he was He talked about the Son of Man. And this is important. The Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. You know, I don't look for things myself. I look for the Lord Jesus Christ. What was he like as a Son of Man? Because as he was Son of Man, so I am to be that man. That's what it means. For him to show us what a Son of Man is meant to be. In other words, man. What should the man be like? There is the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? What do I look for? 12:18. Behold my servant. Now that is an interesting thing to study. What does it mean when we read this idea of behold my servant? And this is something that we want to take a look at a little bit more carefully. The word servant is a different word here. Remember the centurion? And he said, my servant is lying sick. Now, there is the word diakonos, which is translated deacon, servant. There is the word doulos, which is usually translated as born servant. This word is not. This word is a very affectionate title. It is a word where you get the word child. In other words, when a servant becomes so dear, you use this word pais. You don't use the word diakonos, you don't use the word doulos, use the word pais to say, this one is so dear to me, he is like a son servant. He's like a child. He is servant in service, but he is, as it were, so dear to me. I don't use the word diakonos, I don't use the word doulos, I use the word pais. This is how we are to relate to God. Behold my servant. You know, Paul never dared to use his word. Humbly, he used the word doulos. Humbly, he used the word diakonos. Jesus says, behold my servant. You know, citing Isaiah 42. This is how God regarded Jesus. He loved him. In a matter of our working, in our developing our faith, in, let's not serve because we have to. We serve because we have an enduring relationship with God. He loves us. We are pies. From a word where you get a word, pedo, or pediatrician, same word. This is a word here. The root word is what right here. Pies. And this is what we look at. My servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved. So you see the word here, my beloved, my servant, that's the same thing here. We were not just meant to be critical, cynical, you know, people. We were meant to be beloved servants of God. When we read the scriptures, our faith should soar. Our soul should come alive. Our relationship with God must be that of a loving, you know, a loving relationship with God. But it makes us critical, cynical, hard. We cannot listen to anybody. That soul is dead. That's what happened to the Pharisees. That is what we need to take note of, because we can be spiritually dead where we are. We could be Sunday school teachers. We could be church leaders. And we could be as dead can be. This is why we constantly ask ourselves whether we are alive to the Lord at all. And so we take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ in his relationship as a beloved servant of God. And then we read, especially, I will put my spirit upon him. And you watch this. This is a spirit-filled person. And this is what every servant of God should be. This is what Jesus is looking for. This is a spirit-filled person. This is a person with faith. This is a person who's alive to God. And if this person is not there, he's going to become just like the Pharisees. Physically alive, spiritually dead, mentally aware of the scriptures, spiritually unable to apply that mercy, that love, the understanding the scriptures were meant to be used. Now, this is a challenge for us to consider. How do we see the Lord in our life in every sense of the word? Well, we have a very clear example over here. I will put my spirit upon him, and he will declare justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel. He will not cry out. He will not hear people hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break. This is exactly what faith and life should be. But one, you want to see a person. This person is hard. This person is always critical. This person is cynical. The person passes nasty remarks. And the person justifies himself. I'm right. What do you have? A Pharisee. A modern-day Pharisee. And they are alive. And they are here. They're everywhere. And that's why we must watch very, very carefully and ask ourselves, what is it that we are reading? How do we understand these things here as we understand it? And so we take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we see how he handled himself, and this is absolutely important. You know, there will always be situations in our faith, in our life, where, you know, it's so easy to feel that we are far more righteous than other people. We feel that we are right. I think the greater question is to look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and to check our hearts seriously, honestly, earnestly, and ask ourselves where we are spiritually. Are we spiritually alive to God? Because when we talk about looking for faith, what does it mean when we talk about what Jesus is looking for? He's looking for this thing called faith. What is he looking for? And the best way to answer it is to look at how Jesus exemplified faith in his life. What is this faith that he's looking for that is missing in the Pharisees? Is it mere knowledge? The Pharisees had knowledge. Is it the keeping of the law? The Pharisees kept the law. Is it about being righteous on the outside? The Pharisees had that righteousness on the outside. But what was missing? What was really missing? Mercy was missing. Kindness was missing. Poor in spirit was missing. The Beatitudes, basically, they were missing in the lives of the Pharisees. What was missing? The relationship between the Father, God, and his servant. Sometimes we think we are serving God. Sometimes we think we are right. But that relationship, pious relationship, between the Father and the Lord God and his servant. Can the Lord say this of you? This is my servant, my beloved. You want to see whether it's true? It's very easy to tell. You check your own heart. You check your own spirit. You will see. That's not difficult. If we are honest with ourselves, if we are earnest in our search for faith, we will see this as our reality. Will what people say cause us to stop doing what we need to do? The answer is no. We have a calling from God. We have a ministry to fulfill, and we will fulfill that ministry. No matter what people may say, no matter how people will criticize, no matter how many people are watching over you, watching for you to make that mistake so that they can pounce on you. And our faith helps us to steer right. and we keep on doing what is right and good in the eyes of the Lord. This is our faith. We're hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. This is what Jesus was experiencing and what he was showing to everyone around. This is what it's all about. This is the kind of faith the Lord is looking for. It's not faith as in, content faith, but faith as in your life. Do you see this in your life? That you are spirit-filled, that you have a wonderful relationship with God in a most loving manner, that you are alert to the needs of people, and you will do that which is good and right in the eyes of the Lord. That is what faith is all about. And anything else that hinders, that will harm the soul, is non-faith. It is basically Pharisaism. It is basically that which is going to be hurtful, detrimental to your soul in every sense of the word. And that's what we must all look out for. Can it happen? The answer is yes. And so we need to be on the alert at all times. Why the Lord Jesus Christ allowed his disciples to go through this thing here? I mean, he could have stopped them. Listen, the Pharisees are going to be watching over you. They're going to find fault with you. Nope. You're going to go through it. And through those things, become stronger, become wiser, become sharper, to become far more aware of the opposition. Will there be opposition? Yes. Will there always be people watching out for you to do the wrong thing? Yes. And it makes you sharper, far more alert as well. And faith enables us to stay strong and committed and focused in doing what we need to do. Think about this thing here as we ponder this lesson. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we pray for grace to understand this lesson the Lord Jesus Christ wanted the disciples to learn. And for us to learn as well. Help us to examine our own hearts so that we are not people who become cynical, dead in our own trespasses and sins, and spiritually just totally insensitive to you. We pray that you will help us look at the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a heart and a soul that is alive to you. And we pray that you will help us to search for this kind of faith. We ask you to bless us. In Jesus' name, amen.